Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
Good Tuesday afternoon and welcome into Grant and Danny. You are listening live to The Fan. We've got $50 gift card, two Paisanos to give away at 4 o'clock ahead of the Beltway Blitz in 2 hours. We're also going to talk to Tom Shatt of The Washington Post, who covers the Commanders at 3, about the return of Jaden Daniels. And we'll cover the NFL with Greg Bishop of SI. One of their feature writers has been spending time with Matt Stafford in the last week out in L.A., he stops by at 6 o'clock. Danny, we are one day away from the much-anticipated 3 p.m. start to the Thanksgiving food draft on Grant and Danny tomorrow.
I'm excited about that. I'm excited about a barbecue sort of pre-Thanksgiving stomach-expanding experience. If you're going to put on a show at Thanksgiving, you don't just walk in, strut around like Vince McMahon heading to the ring and expect to put on a Joey Chestnut on July 4th type performance. You got to work out. That's what tomorrow's all about to me. Expanding, right? Big breakfast, a lot of carbs, hydrate, huge barbecue lunch, lay down for a while, not be able to finish the show. These are the things that you want to do to get ready for the day of food and festival.
I don't know how people do things and how people are so skilled and talented with new technology. So I'll start with that. But I just got a tweet from one of our listeners who's got a screen grab where he has created some type of a several leg, looks like a six leg parlay.
Like it looks real.
For the Grant and Danny food draft on some betting site where he's got legs that include Danny making up a food in his parlay. That one's like minus 600. I don't even know if there's any value on throwing that into the parlay. Me to offer a trade, which is a lock. I mean, so far he's just taking guarantees. Then he's got Ryan to refuse all trades as one of his six legs of his Grant and Danny food draft parlay. But the go check it out at Grant H. Paulson. I posted the picture. The legs that he put together, really, really funny. So well done by him. We're excited for 3 o'clock tomorrow. And we're more excited for Thanksgiving Day, now 2 days away. Before we get to the audio of Jaden Daniels out at Northwest Stadium today, giving out some turkeys. Speaking of turkey, I saw this debate raging on the interwebs. What is the correct time to eat a Thanksgiving meal? Because we have always worked around the football schedule. And if the Commanders play, it changes everything. They don't this time around. Like, my wife texted me a few days ago, and she said, hey, when do you want to eat on Thanksgiving? What's the football slate look like? And so I said, well, you know, we got a really good game at 1, which should be at noon, and they've moved it back an hour. Nobody seems to be talking about that. Am I wrong, or has it always been a 12:30 start for the Lions?
Feels like that's the normal, right?
They're now doing a 1 o'clock start time for Detroit and Green Bay, which is going to be really, really good. 2.5-point spread on that one. Then you've got the Chiefs and the Cowboys. I actually sneaky think that's a great football game, the way Dallas's offense is playing. Short week travel for Kansas City. You don't think they're going to have some problems with George Pickens, CeeDee Lamb, and Dak Prescott moving the football? That's a really good game. So what we normally do is, the answer for me has always been in that 3:45, 4 o'clock window after a 12 o'clock noon start for the Lions is when we eat right before the 4 o'clock Cowboys game. game two of the three-game tripleheader. But with a now 1 o'clock start, the game won't end until 4 or 4:15, so you're either eating at the end of that Lions-Packers game or during the beginning of Cowboys-Chiefs, which is probably going to have to be the play right around 4 o'clock. But the NFL shifting the times has kind of ruined my window, so I don't think I now have the answer anymore.
Mm.
I think 3:45, 4 used to be the perfect time to eat on Thanksgiving. I'm now a free agent. I'm in the market for new ideas.
Well, we are always at the mercy of the chefs, and they are not centered around football with the folks that do it.
We should get new chefs.
That would require like a divorce and a mother-in-law, like sort of kicking them to the curb. I like them. I'm going to keep them.
They're nice people.
They're great folks.
They might need to figure out that this day is about football too.
Yeah. Well, as the eater, my feet are up and I eat and I try not to complain very much. So I'm sort of at their beck and call. We always tend to eat later than I'd like. I'm a mid-afternoon guy.
When do you normally eat? When you say later than you'd like? What
6.
Is it?
Which I find out.
You just do it dinner time.
Yeah. Because, they're making so much stuff, and everything seems to take longer than they thought, and they're plating this and the second oven for that.
Everybody's making these meals. Very few people are eating at 6.
Again, I have zero role other than to say thank you and stuff my face.
Which I understand. Yeah. And I'm not questioning them. What I'm saying, though, is I think if they're eating at 6, it's probably because they want to eat at 6. Like, if they decided we're going to eat at 2, you wouldn't just accidentally, whoopsie-daisy, it's 6 p.m. They're probably working toward a dinner time Thanksgiving meal.
It tends to be that way.
So that's your annual start time?
Yeah.
Is generally, and what if the Commanders are playing the Cowboys in the 4 o'clock?
6 p.m. Again, they don't work around that. The only person that cares about that is me. Nobody else does.
Your wife isn't like, hey, Danny, we get it. You can go sit in front of the TV. Nothing like that.
I mean, more or less, she understands that it's work and it's a professional obligation, but I'm encouraged to DVR and things like that. But yeah, they don't work around it. My in-laws are Baltimore folks, so if the Ravens happen to be playing, which is very rare that they'd play on Thanksgiving, but if they did, maybe there'd be some accommodation, but there's not much to that. Yeah, so there's no difference. But it ends up being later because to me, that mid-afternoon, that 3 o'clock range is perfect because you get your giant meal. The nap is inevitable. I mean, it's Thanos picking up all the Infinity Stones. Then you got a chance to rally back post-tryptophan, and now there's a second round. When you eat at 6, maybe your leftovers right before bed, but it's like that's not the right time.
10:30, 11 p.m.
That's
turkey
wrong.
Sandwich
doesn't feel as good.
No,
that 8 p.m. after the 3 p.m. Feeding, that's the best.
I don't like the really early start time, and the only thing worse than the really early start time is the really late sit down. So here's what I'm gonna say on a bingo board, so to speak, of putting down some markers. I think anything after my dentist appointment at 2:30 is wheelhouse, as long as it's before a 4:30 start. That's the window to me. That's the perfect time to eat your Thanksgiving meal, is somewhere between 2:20 and 4:45. If you're before 2:20, I think it's a little early. And if you're after 4:45, that's a tough ask. But if it, 5, we can make that work. 6 or later, I think, is an outrage.
Yep.
I mean, that is an unacceptable, real missed opportunity, because you really should be getting to eat twice on Thanksgiving Day. Otherwise, you're doing it wrong. And if you're at someone else's house and you're eating at 6, you're rolling out at 8:30 or so. I mean, if you eat everything you're supposed to, you're not hungry again. You're getting one meal.
That's right.
Now, on the flip side, where are you on these people? This is the thing, because every year I do this, and I will once again ask all of you to send me your Thanksgiving Day plates, and I can grade them for you and send you back my critique on your plates at Grant H. Paulson on all things social media. But I start getting images. I never even knew this was a thing. I start getting Thanksgiving plates sent to me at like 12:15.
Yeah, the noon people.
I mean, there are people eating full-ass Thanksgiving meals at 12 o'clock
now,
noon.
Those are the folks, and I admire this, where there's no frills. There's no charcuterie board. There's no cheese plate.
That's
there's a grazing station of almonds, snacks, breads, dips, whatever. They don't do any of that stuff. They're just full Bob Senley immediately to the big meal.
For those people that eat at 12:30, are your family members getting to your house right at start time? Are they walking in, sitting down, and eating? Because for me, there's a few hours leading up to that of just We're watching football. We're watching the turkey get fried outside, and we're slowly dropping it into the grease, and we're standing around with a beer in our hands.
Figuring out what to do with the kids. Coke Take Zero. Them for a walk. Go to the playground.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. So here's kind of the way I see my day going is people start showing up, I'm guessing, somewhere around 11 to 11:30. Food is served for the first time closer to 11:30 to noon. Food includes a massive cheese program, the size of which I would say is a little smaller than the state of Texas, mm-hmm. somewhere in the kitchen.
Right somewhere there.
But all over the table, you've got deviled eggs, you've got snacks, you've got finger foods, phenomenal finger foods. And this is going to happen for hours. I mean, this is like you're kind of full by the time you sit down for Thanksgiving, if it's done correctly.
That's right.
Now, you got to be a veteran here, as if you're going to the Brazilian steakhouse or something where you can't fill up on the breads and the salads and all the little stuff they're trying to get you to.
Discipline.
Discipline. Discipline. Which you and I don't really have a
lot
of.
No, we don't. We're not good at it.
But we're going to try our best. Mm-hmm. It's a challenge every year. But to me, you graze all day long. That's why you eat at like 3, 4 o'clock. That's the play.
That's the window.
So we're in lockstep. What's worse? If like you do the 6 p.m. thing, it sounds like, which is my nightmare.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather eat at noon or 6?
Noon.
I think so, too.
Because I guarantee myself twice. I get two. The things that I love the most.
So do you ever get two?
No.
The way you do it now?
I mean, you get the leftover, the one extra piece of pie.
Do you stay overnight?
Yeah.
So that's clutch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If you were leaving, I think you'd be cooked. The fact that you're staying overnight, you now get the opportunity. You're getting your dessert.
You get your next day.
Are you doing pie?
Yeah.
A la mode, or how are we doing that?
I don't do the a la mode because that ice cream was like a shuriken through my stomach, basically, and just making sure that I have terrible stomach issues. So I would probably skip the mode part of it. I'll just go straight pie. But, yes, that's available.
When are you doing that? 7:45? 8?
7:30.
So I think you're up against, you're fighting it.
Fighting it.
To get one more turkey sandwich in.
Yeah, I mean, these are all healthy people. These are all, I'm the heaviest by far.
Have you considered having fewer healthy people at your Thanksgiving?
I've tried to incorporate others, and it's just,
you've never invited me. That would be a good addition.
Well, it'd be nice
to a not healthy
just to drag us all down. Exactly. I got two vegans over there. You know, my wife is super healthy. Everybody's healthy except for this guy. But yeah, if noon would be the play if I had to choose between the two, because I will sacrifice great appies. Even though I love the appies so much, I love grazing. As long as I mean, to me, this is really just an excuse to eat the stuffing. Stuffing is a top five food for me. Everyone should know what's in their top five. We don't eat stuffing enough. Stovetop tried to get America on board with the idea that it's not just for Thanksgiving. It should be all the time. Remember the kid who's coming home from the playground? He wanted to go to somebody's house. It's like, Billy's got Stovetop? And then like he was strategizing, went to three different houses for dinner that one night, playing outside in the summertime, because they were all serving Stovetop that night. They tried to get the country on board with stuffing all the time, and it didn't take for some reason.
I also find that while all stuffing is good, stuffing has the greatest variance of probably any of the things served at Thanksgiving. The way somebody does it versus somebody else. One family does it versus another. I've had really good stuffing. It's the best, Jerry. The best. And I have also had bad stuffing. Like, I've had stuffing where I'm like, I'll call my mom after, or I'll text her. I'll be like, hey, didn't love the stuff. You know, our stuffing, awesome. You mm-hmm. do the best.
Mm-hmm.
The stuffing I just had, I just want you to know, this made me appreciate your stuffing a little bit. Like, that has happened before. And it can happen. But by the 6 p.m. start time tells me you do a very strong hors d'oeuvre hour. You have to.
Oh, yeah. There's
You're eating all day.
The amount of all day eating.
Or as Clary once called it, hors d'oeuvre.
Hors d'oeuvre.
Hors d'oeuvre.
Hors d'oeuvre.
Hors d'oeuvre.
Let me hear it one more time.
Hors d'oeuvre.
Hors d'oeuvre. Chris and Cole.
Hors d'oeuvre.
You're on Grant and Danny. What time are you eating your Thanksgiving meal? What's the right play here? Chris, you're on the radio. This is when you talk.
I'm sorry. I was laughing at y'all with the hors d'oeuvre.
Hors d'oeuvre. Do your best hors d'oeuvre.
No, our family, we've always ate at 1 o'clock. As a little kid, I remember getting to the family's house 10:30, 11. You got your celery sticks with cream cheese, a little bit of spice, some pitted olives, crackers, and cheese. But we like to eat early because, you know, it's Detroit, Green Bay, and for years, who was Detroit? They just got served up by Green Bay, so you would have it in the background. And the great thing about eating earlier, you get the double meal. About 4 o'clock, yep. 4:30, when you get hungry again, you make another plate, make your turkey sandwich, and you roll on.
Look, I'm not going to besmirch 1 o'clock. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong like I would 6, 7 p.m., which I think is a terrible idea. But noon or one, while early, is better than late. It's you're just not really in let's shove as much food as possible into my stomach mode. It's almost like having a drink at 9 a.m., 10 a.m. It doesn't feel right just yet.
Yep.
The big meal at noon or one, it just doesn't feel right. Darius, when are you guys eating? You go to a relative's house generally in Maryland, right?
Correct, yes. Go to my cousin's house.
How many people are there?
It's usually anywhere from, I would say, 8 to 12-ish.
Okay, that's
around there. Yeah,
about what we got.
Mm-hmm.
What time are we eating?
We are a 4 p.m. family.
That's the answer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we are a 4 p.m. family.
And are we snacking all day, or is there...
No, no. So, yeah, you guys are mentioning, you know, having so many hors d'oeuvres. We dive in. Once 4 o'clock comes around, everybody dives in right then and there.
What time do you get there?
I typically get there, say, 3-ish.
And there's not, like, a bunch of food out already to just start snacking on?
Not really, no. It's hands off the kitchen until it's dinner time.
I gotta say, that's tough.
Mm. Yeah.
Shouldn't we be opening up our... expanding the palate a little bit? Shouldn't we be?
So there's no, see, like the danger, and if you have enough authority in the kitchen to kick people out, then that's big time. What usually happens is you get the hefties who will start pacing around behind the people cooking because everything smells so good. They just wander into the kitchen, right? And that's the reason to have food out for twofold. One, the food's delicious and I just want the hors d'oeuvre. But second is to not bother the cookers.
Yes.
See what I'm saying?
And it's the correct play for them to kick you out of the kitchen. You shouldn't be allowed. But that's also why the snacks are there.
That's my point, yeah.
To tide us over. So you just set them up on another table in another room, and then we have something to consume so I'm not trying to pull the skin right off the turkey. Which, by the way, I didn't realize until I got married how trashy and awful this is. But, like, my dad always, for whatever reason, like, he would carve the turkey pretty much after peeling it, so to speak. So he would, like, set the skin to the side, and then he would, like, carve the turkey. Whereas my wife's family, you know, they just cut right
just
into
carve the turkey.
The turkey, so there's, like, skin on each piece of meat. But I would just go over and just grab a bunch of the skin, not off of the turkey, but my dad would already have set it to the side. And I would just start walking around eating big leaves of turkey skin. My wife thought it was the most egregious, outrageous, ridiculous thing she'd ever seen. She's like, what do you mean? You keep it on to carve the turkey. And I'm like, no, you don't. You pull it all off, and then you carve the turkey without it. And I realized we did it in a way, like when I started asking around, most people were like, of course you keep the skin on.
You just keep the skin on.
No, no, no. You peel it and you eat it like it's, I don't know, a Slim Jim or something.
That's right. You're like.
Toby's nodding. You know about this move. Did you guys peel the turkey before you cut it and carved it each time?
Absolutely. I mean, me, my mom, my dad were fighting over the skin.
No, I don't mean just like pick a little off. I mean, you guys would peel the thing off?
Yeah, I mean, we're not grabbing the whole thing at once, like...
Right, and he's saying little by little, this is what we would like kind of get pieces till, 80% of the skin's off the turkey.
Correct, yeah.
Okay, that's different. So, like, if you're cheating a piece of skin, that's not a big deal.
But I'm saying, by the time you carve the turkey,
there's no skin
on pieces of the turkey that other people are getting.
Got it. So, the way you made it sound at first was, you're meticulously moving all the skin away. Skin is gone, and now we can carve the turkey.
Both are correct. We are... both eating the turkey little by little skin pieces, yes. But also, like, my dad's exercise was to get the skin off of the turkey prior to carving into the bird.
Oh, DP, that's odd. Picking at the turkey, that's human beings. You're tempted by the smell, and you want that little piece, the little crackling. It's awesome. Good for you. Removing it all together is Hannibal Lecter stuff.
As I said, as I've gotten older, I'm like, that didn't really make a whole lot of sense. If it's such a wonderful delicatessen that everybody wants, why wouldn't you keep a little bit on
each piece
of turkey? Shane's in Virginia. What's up, Shane? What time should you be eating on Thursday?
Hey, Commander Grant, how y'all doing today?
Good, dude.
Doing well, buddy.
Hey, look, it's always 3 o'clock, man. It's if you're eating before then, you're like, who's at noon? Like I'm like nobody's at noon. Come on, Commander. Hey, look, it's 3 o'clock, and you got to do something different, though. You cannot just have the turkey and ham. Like, this year, I'm doing a rotisserie duck with the duck fat potatoes and I'm smoking a turkey, and it's going to be – but you got to do something different. You got to bring seafood to the table, too. There's got to be some kind of seafood dish. If it's grilled oysters or whatever, that's what I'm doing. But you got to, like, bring something else besides just turkey and ham.
So we do oysters during our hors d'oeuvre hour. Oysters are a big hit. I'm not an oysters guy, but my wife's whole family loves them, so they all crack them and shuck them and whatever it's called. They go out back, and they have knives and gloves.
That's amazing.
And they do the whole thing.
Amazing.
And that's about when me and Brian start frying the turkey up, as they're all doing the oysters. But at 5 p.m., we're going to vote on a bunch of foods as to whether or not they are Thanksgiving draft worthy or not, so that we have a list to work from tomorrow. So you want to make sure you're listening to that. And at 3 p.m. tomorrow, our Thanksgiving food draft right here on Grant and Danny, an exclusive to the program that has been, I would say, growing in popularity every year.
Mm.
And you got to get your bets in, your parlays in on how tomorrow's going to go, because the books are now taking some bets.
There's all sorts of action.
Odds boards are out on who's going to win the Thanksgiving Day food draft. Jaden Daniels was passing out turkeys today. He also talked about playing again this season. You'll hear what the quarterback had to say next on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
Welcome back, Grant and Danny on the Fan. Joe Gibbs turned 85 years old this morning. Happy birthday to the Hall of Famer, one of the greatest coaches to ever do it, and the greatest sports figure in D.C. history, perhaps not named Alex Ovechkin. Maybe he's number one on the all-time list. Ovi's only got you one Stanley Cup. In the case of Joe Gibbs, it's 3 Lombardi trophies, the Hall of Famer, 2-time AP Coach of the Year, 2-time Pro Football Writers Association Coach of the Year. They don't make them like Joe Gibbs. Didn't curse as he was barking commands. 154-94 all-time. Every one of his games in Washington from 81 through 07 in multiple iterations.
3 different quarterbacks. The part that should always be mentioned probably in the second sentence after the Lombardi Trophy is in another Super Bowl appearance as well. Just unbelievable. So great as an innovator, as someone that had to, you know, kind of do things on the fly, that got off to the rocky start and, you know, then sort of took this town by storm and had everybody believing, nothing but buy-in, great assistance. Things became legendary all under his watch. Happy birthday, Coach.
By the way, 85, older than I would have thought. He is very sharp. I mean, he still runs his NASCAR team, Joe Gibbs Racing.
Yep.
And he's sitting at the top of the, I guess they would call it the pit box or whatever, in the owner's seat, but he's still at those races and doing press conferences and involved in the day-to-day, obviously. He's been on with us a couple of times in the last calendar year. He's still tangentially involved with the Commanders, more of a liaison role where he comes for a day here or there, walks the sidelines, does the occasional interview. But Joe Gibbs, I would have guessed, I mean, not a lot younger, right? But I would have guessed, like, I don't know, 77, 78?
So I would have guessed 81 or 82.
Okay.
But, just sort of thinking in that range. But, yeah, you're right about how just razor sharp he still is.
To be as involved as he is on the NASCAR side and still day-to-day running everything the way that he is. I watched one of those Netflix behind the, sport series that got done on NASCAR, and he's in every meeting. He's right there talking to the drivers. He's at the office. I mean, he is locked in. He's not just, it's not like his name's on it.
You're not some figurehead.
And you call him once a week to let him know what's going on. Jaden Daniels today. Kudos to him and some of his teammates. They were passing out turkeys, and they were doing some really important community work as we get ready for the holiday season. After being a part of the ceremony with the Commanders and some of his teammates, Luke McCaffrey, I saw out there, Jalen Lane among them, Jaden met with the media for the first time in a couple of weeks to discuss his injury status and the possibility of getting back on the field. Here's what he had to say.
Day by day process, just kind of getting back in the rhythm and things to flow. But if I'm back out there, I'm healthy and I'm ready to go. I want to be out there. It's my second year in the NFL, and you learn a lot of different things, and hopefully I play a longer time, so it won't be my first thing going through adversity. If I'm out there, man, I'm going to give it my all, so it's going to be important. I mean, as a football player, you want to go back there and play in a competitor, and that's who I am, so if I have the opportunity to go back there and play, but right now I'm really just taking it day by day and week by week. It's no discussions of anything right now. It's more so just getting back healthy and feeling back good. I've been throwing.
Okay. How close do you think you are?
Take it day by day, John.
50 Cent blaring in the background.
I was going to say, can we hear some 50 Cent in the background? You guys have that?
So day by day and week by week, I kind of dismiss, first of all, those are antonyms. One of them means, you could be back in 3 days. The other means you can be back in 3 weeks. But I also think he was just kind of saying, yeah, it's up in the air right now. So I'll just dismiss that part. But what I did find interesting in the money quote there that everyone's been reacting to is, if I'm out there, healthy, ready to go, I want to be back out there. And what he means by that, I think, is if I'm practicing and I feel good and I feel ready, then I want to play in games. He has not been cleared for any contact at this point. He has been cleared to return to the practice field non-contact. That's where we are right now.
So this is the variable that I am not concerned about. And here's what I mean. This is a football player, and what do football players want to do? They want to play football. I want him to want to get out there as soon as possible. Each time we've had one of these reports, and by the way, we've done this way too much this year, just as a personal bit of irritation.
What do you mean this?
Is he playing? Is he out? Is he
hurt? Well, it's the third time he's been hurt, and they are so terrible about giving any information that's meaningful and just telling you what's going on. So it's this gigantic guessing game of Willy Wony constantly. It's the Fantana Panda Watch, and we've done it for as many weeks as we have this year.
Frankly, and again, they're far bigger fish to fry than you and I, but I will tell you, I'm sick of it. I'm irritated by it. Again, not him. He's not doing anything wrong. No one's doing anything wrong.
It's not his fault.
Simply saying,
it's just hurt.
We've done this dance far too much. But the variable that as I was trying to say, is that I'm not worried about at all, is the player would like to play. Every time he's going, can I play now? And they go no or yes, depending on medical factors and what's best and what's smartest. That I'm a fan of. I like that. So him saying, yeah, if I'm healthy, I want to go. And I'd want to prove as soon as I possibly can. You can hear that there in those answers behind the 50 Cent. If I'm trying to prove that I feel good, I'm feeling good, I'm getting really, really close, I want to play. That's obvious. That's clear.
When Dan Quinn came out on Monday, and he said that Jaden Daniels was going to be coming back to practice, but was a long shot to play against the Denver Broncos. I'm paraphrasing. We'll play the clip in a second. But when he originally said that, I took that to mean he is imminently returning, because you're not bringing him back to practice not to play him. See Joe Burrow last week. When Joe Burrow came back to practice last week with the Bengals, they were ramping him up. He was basically a full go all week. He still didn't play in the game as they were extra precautious with him. But he's playing this week on Thursday. That was the decision that they made, was let's get him up to speed, let's push him as much as we can on the practice field, and we'll still take a little more time to keep him out of games because there's just too many things we can't control. But he's going to have multiple weeks of practice. Any issues that arise, any setbacks, we can reassess, but that'll get him ready for game time. That was kind of how I viewed him coming back on Monday, doing something. Now, we don't know how limited he is. Does that mean he just walked out there chewing gum, blew a couple bubbles, threw a couple passes right, while standing flat-footed in tennis shoes, walked off the field, and they said, all right, now you were limited today? We don't know. We don't have access to see that, to know that. Even the beat reporters that are out there every day can't really get a true feel for how much guys do or don't do in a practice, because a lot of the periods are just off limits to the media. But I guess that's my number one wonder or concern would be, like, if he comes back to practice tomorrow, Wednesday, in full, even if he's not playing Sunday, which we already know he's not, it's a long shot, and he hasn't been cleared for contact, am I putting the cart before the horse? Is my assumption wrong that this means he's in line to play against the Vikings? Nobody's really said that. Could Dan Quinn just be saying, well, he's back at practice? Could he just practice for a month without playing in games? Is that something that is possible? At no point has anybody said he's definitely playing. Is that weird, I guess, is my question.
Well, it's not weird for this group.
Even Jaden Daniels in that answer didn't necessarily say, yeah, I'm looking forward to getting back out there. I'm going to be playing soon. It was like, hey, if I'm out there and if I'm feeling good, then I'm going to want to play. It's
open-ended.
Hypothetical.
Yeah, everyone's been coached there to do that.
This was the cut from Dan Quinn that led to me thinking we're going to see him in Minnesota a week from Sunday.
He will be able to return to practice. We had our first session today, but Johnny has not been cleared for contact. So, I mean, he'll probably be unlikely to play. But, man, it's good to get started and get the return to play going. So that's a big deal for us.
I mean, he's calling it a return to play. They obviously think at some point he's going to play. Mm-hmm. Is it possible, though? Look, the cleared for contact is out of their control. Could you not be cleared for contact for three more weeks? Like, he could be on the practice field doing some limited things, throwing, running, cutting, jumping, all that stuff. But because of the elbow, they could say, I don't know, 3 weeks from now, he's right, still not cleared for contact. Now you're only coming back for two games, and maybe the team has a different feel on the whole thing if you're 4-13 or whatever it is, 4-12 at that point. I don't know. Yesterday, I felt like we're going to see him when we go to Minnesota, and I would still bet on that. But am I putting the cart before the horse here?
To a degree, yes. Now, this is what their way of handling it has led us to, right? We've already done this. You can just change the date where you go, okay, reading the signs, based on this and based on that and based on this nature of this injury, the 4 to 6 weeks timeline, that puts us, this would be at 5. So 4 would be too soon, and then they haven't said, but he's talking about the return to play metrics. We've done this dance so many bleeping times this year. Your assumption is correct. It is a very reasonable deduction. But that's all it is. That you're basing it, again, correctly, on evidence, what makes sense, what fits, again, in terms of the injured timeline. Like, you wouldn't say if you had a broken leg, yeah, I hope to see him in Minnesota. That wouldn't make any sense because the timeline's wrong.
Right.
A, the timeline's right. B, he's returning to practice. It's too soon this week, .. That leads you to believe, well, then what would that mean? Is it 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now? Next week makes a lot of sense.
So here's my question, I guess, to make this more succinct. They play the Giants on December 14th. Is it a lock he's playing by then? Because what I'm getting at is, you don't come back to practice and just practice in perpetuity without being cleared for games. There is such a thing when you're coming off IR as like a 21-day window.
Yeah, Noah Brown's in it right now.
He is. Almost never does a guy use the whole 21-day window. As an example, Will Harris's 21-day window just opened. He's going to play against the Denver Broncos immediately, having been cleared now and coming back to practice. Generally, you don't use all 3 weeks. Sam Cosmi didn't. Most of those guys don't. But I guess I could see a path where you could tell me they're being extra careful. He practices for a couple weeks without playing, and he's still not back for that Vikings game. But if you're practicing Monday this week and you're full go, let's say, potentially, by the end of this week, even if you're limited, December 14th is close to 3 weeks away. Is it possible that he's still not playing then? And if he's not, does that mean, with just three games to go, Eagles, Cowboys, Eagles, that now they
then
might
this shutdown's possible. Yeah,
now they go, it's only three games left. He's ready to go, but we're going to shut him down. I guess all I'm asking is this a possibility, or is he definitely coming back? And the evidence and the proof in the pudding is that he's practicing. Does him practicing this week mean he's definitely playing again this season? That's the part I can't figure out. Mm. I think yes, but I've written that in pen, and I'm not so sure.
And you're going, should I have? Yeah.
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 It was his answer plus Dan Quinn's answer when I re-listened to it yesterday. I was just kind of like, well, there's no one really saying the thing out loud that I want to hear.
Right. Am I filling in with my want?
Like, I would like to ask Dan Quinn, and maybe somebody will tomorrow. But if I had one question, I would say, as of right now, barring a setback, is Jaden Daniels definitely playing again this season? And if you said, oh, yeah, we got 5 weeks left, you know, after this week, and he's getting close, okay, perfect. But I don't know that he would answer. Like, his way of doing things is like, look, we're not going to miss a mark.
And return to play, mark. Yeah, the whole deal.
So let's open up the phones on this. 800-636-1067. Is it an absolute lock that Daniels plays again this season? Or do you think, even though he's back at practice, that they are still leaving this open for a looming decision, kicking the can down the road, based on either results or this idea that he has not been cleared for contact, and we don't know when that's going to be? Could that be an out that they have that 2-3 weeks from now that's still the case? 800-636-1067 if you want to join us on Grant and Danny.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
At Marisa's, we're all about great jeans. You know, the ones that fit you just right. The ones that go from work days to weekends and everywhere in between. The ones that simply make you feel good. Because you don't just wear jeans, you live in them. With 25 sizes, 5 lengths, and 6 denim brands, you've got options. And fit experts in every store to make jean shopping easier. Find great jeans starting at $29.90 in stores and at Marisa's.com.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry Yay! Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change. While supplies last.
He will be able to return to practice. We had our first session today, but Johnny has not been cleared for contact. So, I mean, he'll probably be unlikely to play. But, man, it's good to get started and get the return to play going. So that's a big deal for us.
How sure are we that Jaden Daniels is playing in the next couple of weeks? I think most of us, and I'll just raise my hand here, I assumed Minnesota, a week from Sunday Night Football against the Broncos, he'll be on the field against the Vikings after he was back at practice Monday and is expected to do more on Wednesday. But after hearing him talk today, after really listening back to that answer from Dan Quinn, nobody's saying that. So we're basically assuming that he's on a trajectory that allows him to get back, but he has not been cleared for contact. That is a very significant hurdle that has to be cleared, and I guess the team doesn't really know when that's coming. So it's possible that they could just say, we have no idea. Until he's cleared for contact, nothing else matters.
Right.
I wonder, though, if Dan Quinn was asked, do you expect Jaden Daniels to play again this season, what he would say. I have to imagine if he's on the practice field today with six games left, the answer is yes. But
you're doing that to ramp towards something.
You would think. He's calling it a return to play, not a return to practice while we play games and he's not participating in them. Although that's a little wordy anyway. This was Daniels today after passing out some turkeys, taking part in a big charity event with the team out at the stadium. Meeting with
day by day process, just kind of getting back in the rhythm of things to flow. But if I'm back out there, I'm healthy and I'm ready to go. I want to be out there. It's my second year in the NFL, and you learn a lot of different things. And hopefully, I play a longer time, so it won't be my first time going through adversity. If I'm out there, man, I'm gonna give it my all. So it's gonna be important. I mean, as a football player, you want to go back there and play and a competitor. And that's who I am. So if I had the opportunity to go back in and play, but right now I'm really just taking it day by day and week by week. You know, it's no really discussions of anything right now. It's more so just, hey, just getting back healthy, feeling back good. I've been throwing.
Okay. How close do you think you are?
Take it day by day, John.
I mean, he is the best at, and this is a compliment from a team perspective, like he sticks to the script, yep. Man. And he's so sharp at just saying the right things, good things after the game. When they lose, it's I, me. When they win, it's we. Like, he is designed in a laboratory. And in these cases, he's just not going to give you anything, and he didn't there. Brad's in Purcellville on G&D. What's up, Brad? How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good, buddy.
I just want to say, first of all, thank you to not just the celebrities, but everybody across this great nation that has collected food and handed it out to the people that really need it.
Yeah, including Jaden Daniels today. That's what he was doing right before he spoke to the media. It was a job well done.
Absolutely. I'm going to be doing it myself tomorrow. So,
attaboy.
Well, just like to help when and where I can. It's not much, but it all counts. Secondly, I want to say my own birthday wishes to the greatest coach that's ever lived, Joe Gibbs. And I say that because Danny used my add-on. He did it with three different Super Bowl winning quarterbacks.
Three different QBs, man.
A little different than Belichick winning all his with Tom Brady. Slightly
exactly.
Different.
That's why he's better than Belichick, exactly. In my opinion, and I think most would agree. But I say there's no reason to rush Jaden back. We've already established a lost season, and we've gotten lucky so far with his injuries being minor, non-season-ending. And I say, I know nobody likes to lose, but at this point, we're in a position to really protect our draft position. Nobody wants to tank officially, but even if we had all of our starters against the teams that we're to face, four more division games left too, with an improved Giants team in that, I don't think we're going to win more than one or two more games anyway. So
it's kind of been the conversation we've been having. The over-under as of the Miami game was two more wins. It's still about there. 1.5 is where it's set. And I think most people think they'll win another game. Two's a little harder to find, but the Vikings is a winnable road game. You're going to be playing Max Brosmer, a third-string quarterback, or J.J. McCarthy, who has been terrible, if he's back from his concussion symptoms. That means you can win that game, even though they have a good defense. And you mentioned the Giants. I was looking at EPA per play on both sides of the ball. Washington and New York are almost an identical team in those two categories this year. They're really similar. So that's a pick 'em, toss-up, winnable game for sure, especially if Daniels is on the field. But he used the word rush, and everyone likes to say we shouldn't rush him back. And it's the most obvious. I'm not knocking him, but it's the most unnecessary thing to say ever. There's not a single person who thinks they should rush Jaden Daniels back. Nobody thinks that he should play before he's ready. Nobody thinks that he should be pushed to come back. He is going to come back methodically and slowly. They're going to do everything they can to make sure he is 100% healed. And when he's 100% healed, that's when it's time to play football. So the debate isn't should they rush him. There is no debate. That's like saying, is the sky blue? This guy is blue. What's next? They should not rush Jaden Daniels. But if your definition of rushing him is just having him play another game this season, regardless of health, and I think that's how most people use it, don't have him play again this season. Don't rush him back. No, no, no. If he's healthy and you got a bunch of games left, right, he needs to play football.
Yeah, there is a swell. I don't. It's not a consensus, but there's a group that are saying this whole thing is broken. This year's terrible. Stop trying to make Fetch happen. Shut him down. It's just not going to work this year. He's probably going to get hurt again if he goes out there. And that's kind of what we're responding to. So everybody sort of misuses some of these terms that are not interchangeable as interchangeable terms. There is not a single human being, I don't think, unless maybe a couple of crazy people are, talking about, as you say, rushing him back. No, 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 no. My prerequisite is that he is not at any extra risk due to any injury or any compromised positioning. As long as we're fine there, then I'd like him to get a little bit more experience the rest of this way.
And not one person would disagree with that. Nobody thinks that this guy should play if a doctor's saying he's at risk of re-aggravating that elbow. All of the discussions about him being back on the field are based on the prerequisite that he's completely healthy, not at risk of re-injuring the elbow, and now you either just scratch him healthy so that he doesn't injure something else later this year in games that don't matter, or you play him because he's healthy and he's your starting quarterback. Tom Shad covers the Commanders for the Washington Post. I want to get his thoughts on when we'll see Daniels again. We'll hit some of the headlines on Washington coming out of the bye. Sunday Night Football with the Broncos this weekend. That's next on G&D.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
One day only, Thanksgiving Day deals are coming to Lowe's.com. Plus, members get early access to online Black Friday doorbuster deals on gifting favorites, like the still-trending Cobalt Mini Toolbox for just $14.98. Don't miss up to 50% off for one day only at Lowe's.com. We help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change while supplies last.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.